This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello and welcome to This Is HCD. My name is Jeremy Scullion and I'm a designer, educator and the host of This Is HCD based in the wonderful city of Dublin, Ireland. Our goal here is to have conversations that inspire and help move the dial forward for organisations to become more human-centred in their approach to solving complex business and societal problems. Now, I caught up with Emma Carpenter, Head of Design Experience and previously Group Director at Fjord Johannesburg, Associate Director at Accenture Song. Now, Emma had been introduced to me several months ago as I was keen to speak to somebody in the consulting space in Africa to really get a better understanding of the social and technical implications for designing services in Africa. Now, I'm aware of the blind spot in this conversation of two white practitioners of Anglo origins talking about design in Africa. But nevertheless, I found speaking to Emma to be absolutely brilliant. They cover off some of the cultural implications around phone data and how this perceived restriction drives potentially a more inclusive service. We chat about how Western mindsets and tech organizations design for Western behaviors and how this inadvertently results in a global information exclusion to African natives who favor less data-intense services, which are more likely to be localized. I know you're going to really enjoy this episode. Emma is fantastic. But before we jump in, if you like what we're doing here at This Is HCD, please help us out by leaving a review wherever you listen to the podcast, whether that be an Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. It only takes a couple of minutes and it really, really helps the findability of the podcast for other changemakers around the world. And if you share it out to your friends as well, it really helps go an awful long way for me personally. Or you can go one better by becoming a patron of the podcast. You can get an ad-free stream of the podcast for as little as €1.66 per month. And you also get a shout-out as thanks from me personally as well. And there's other plans there where you can get exclusive and super, super cool items too, like an embroidered t-shirt and a really beautiful eco-friendly hoodie. And literally all the money goes directly towards editing, hosting and maintaining our website, which is a repository for human-centered design goodness, with now over 240 episodes, folks. Let's jump straight in. Emma, it's great to have you here. Maybe start off and tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from. I know people are going to get a little bit confused with your accent because it's British and it's also South African, but maybe talk about a little bit where you're from and what you're doing currently.
Yes, thanks very much, Jerry. Yes, as you pointed out, Jerry, I do have a bit of a blend of an accent. I've lived and worked in Cape Town in South Africa for the last 15 years. And before that, grew up in the UK.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, had the opportunity to be a designer in two different continents. So first 7 or 8 years, I worked in the UK in London for different agencies. And then the last 16, 17 years, I've been working in South Africa.
Wow. So that's a nice juxtaposition between mindsets, which I'd love to get into a little bit more around that transition into working within the African continent and how design differs a little bit more. But tell us, you're at Accenture, a small little consultancy in the world, only joking, an absolute behemoth. Tell us what you're doing at the moment, because you were with formerly Fjord, and now Accenture Song, is that correct?
So about 12 months ago, we had a consolidation of our acquisitions and agency partners within Accenture, and our sort of senior boss, David Droger, put those together under Accenture Song. And so Fjord, obviously as a very well-known design innovation practice, now falls into Song, which gives us a really nice blend of design, analytics, data, development capabilities, as well as all the really great marketing capabilities in in the advertising teams that we also have.
So let's jump straight into one of the topics that I wanted to cover off, and that was the differences. Like when we were doing our pre-chat, we were talking about, you know, my poor Western mindset in terms of understanding what it was like to design services in the African continent. And one of the bits that we were kind of talking a little bit more around is data. You know, I'm from a mindset of I've got infinite data. I walk around, I get 4G, 5G most of the times in Ireland or from in Europe. How does this differ in South Africa in particular? And what does that look like from the customer's perspective as regards how they actually use data?
Mm. Yeah, it's a really good point. I think the way, and I by no means am a telco expert, but we, whilst we do have data plans from our communications companies that do give us unlimited data, they're very, very expensive. Our sort of what I like to call the everyday man on the street or the everyday lady on the street, data is a very big consideration. So what that means is, you know, if you are looking at large bundles to buy, or if people are looking to potentially buy contracts that are uncapped, they have to base that against or reference that against the other things that are in their life, like feeding their families. Unlimited data is not necessarily as important there.
That would obviously have a massive impact on the customer experience, especially the digital customer experience, and access to other services that might be created out of, say, the US or Silicon Valley in particular. A lot of those tech businesses will, you know, have high resolution images. Yeah. How does this really affect access to global information across those services? Does it just mean that they're localized and the localized version is what gets used primarily?
Yes, I mean, so yeah, I think you've got a good point there. Local is definitely better. You know, any services that can be slightly cheaper, less heavy on the data, as we spoke about, a number of our banking and also telco clients, in effect, those that aren't clients as well, will zero rate their websites and their experiences to make that cheap, because as we've said before, people are very savvy in terms of understanding what things cost. They're not necessarily going to watch video or sort of the immersive experiences if they know that that is going to be very difficult for them, or they're not going to get through the month on the data that they've got in their package. So interestingly enough, it's a debate that we've been having recently with the Accenture Life Trends that came out just before Christmas. And the one that was interesting was really around sort of what's next for loyalty. We're also looking at more immersive experiences around loyalty and communities, that obviously ties into the metaverse. And I think in South Africa, whilst there's been some great inroads and some innovation around the metaverse, it's not being picked up as much. And I'd say that's not because people aren't interested. Mm. It's because they can't control the data that's being used whilst they're in these new sort of experiences.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I was at a conference with Jerry McGovern, actually. I don't know if you know Jerry, a number of years ago in Belfast, called Pixel Pioneers. And there was a fantastic speaker from Nigeria called Aid or Inicum, I think is their name. And they're a front-end developer. And I remember their talk, I think it was the next billion users. And it was primarily around African usage of the internet, and they explained what it was like for mothers in Western Africa, that they would sit around and they would discuss which websites to go to purchase things, as opposed to just us naturally just consuming, you know, in Western world, I'm talking about, just naturally just go to the website with the best deal. They were talking about the websites with the lowest amount of data, because the data cap was so expensive. And there was, as you said, a decision there made between data versus feeding their family. So how does this transfer itself into the business processes within Accenture as regards how we get stuff done that meets the criteria for the businesses. Do you have strict guidelines as regards what's possible from a technology perspective to be delivered to the customer?
Not necessarily. I think, you know, we're looking at design, innovation, you know, and technology innovation first. We're looking at obviously the business objectives, what the clients need to consider and also achieve. And so we're going to put that experience first. We're going to, you know, really look at what's best for the customer first, but we're going to be very cognizant of it at the same time. So it's not like we have a playbook or a rule book of, you know, pages or apps should only be X size to download. We'll just keep them as tidy and as neat as possible, I think is what we would say. The other thing that's just struck me, because we're all so used to it here, specifically in South Africa, is our issue with our energy provider in terms of what we call load shedding, which is power outages. In order to keep the national grid going, there's certain times of the day the power will be out, and you get a schedule and you kind of know when that's going to happen. So the other thing that we also have to be mindful of as designers is providing an experience that's not going to actually cut out. So yes, you'll have your phone charged, but if the tower, so we're now looking at infrastructure, doesn't have a generator that's running, you're not going to be able to connect to that experience if the cell phone tower goes down. So I'm noticing a lot of our colleagues at work, clients as well, will reschedule calls around load shedding schedules to ensure that our colleagues aren't dropping off calls. So even if your phone is charged, even if you've got data, you can't control what's happening with the mast and tower infrastructure sometimes as well. So that's also a consideration. So if we're designing a form or a long process, so, you know, if you imagine being at a bank and you're doing an onboarding exercise and you're wanting to take out a new account, then you've got to really consider how long is that going to take, because the frustration, obviously, as a customer, if you get halfway through that form and then everything drops and then you've lost everything, is also quite intense.
There's two things here, like I'm hearing. One, it forces you to really, those restrictions can actually work in your favor sometimes to deliver a more of an inclusive service. Especially if you're there's a reliance on digital all the time, which you know we've all fallen into the trap of, like just throw technology at the problem. Is it fair to say that sometimes the fallback of paper based services and the paper based information exchange is kind of more proliferated in that sense?
So that's actually a really interesting question, Jerry, and sort of brought to mind another story. We also do some government work, and the colleagues that run those clients or government clients for us are very cognizant of the requirement that the governments give us, which is not just having digital experiences, but also having the opportunity for an experience that's offline as well. Mm. So as designers, we want to make things efficient. We want to have everything be able to touch everything very quickly on your phone. But there's many people that don't have that opportunity. There's many people that will get in a queue and drive to a government office and do everything that they need to in front of a person. And the government wants to make sure that we're not excluding those people. So we still have to design for queuing. We still have to design for paper-based processes. We still have to consider what the experience is when somebody is standing outside an office in a long queue. What they're going to be doing when they enter the office, how they're spoken to face to face as well.
I can almost hear listeners kind of going, shaking their heads, and wow, that's kind of crazy. But in my mind, it's kind of refreshing because I think most of the Western world has just been fooled into this sense that we can create any service. We can just, you know, rely on all these services. And you're actually creating more of an equitable service with these restrictions. How does the conversation of design equity and enter the conversations here? Or is it just a given that this is something you need to do across the board?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say we have specific conversations. It's not like we set up a Teams call and say, right, okay, how are we going to cater for the other side? Right. How are we going to cater for the manual side? It is, as you've said, a consideration that's kind of baked in.
Yeah. Culturally.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think from a South African perspective, and obviously I've been here for quite some time, but I didn't grow up here. The sense of community here, the sense of helping each other out here is very much more mature, I would say, if you can say that, than you know, Europe, whereby it is based more around the individual. Yeah. This is, you know, and also it's more about the collective. So people will assist each other here. People will do stuff where they can for their neighbors. Mm. And so that kind of community thinking is kind of baked in, because those that are working as designers here are thinking like that anyway, because that's what you're encouraged to do. So the community aspect of what does that mean, again, and go back to the average person on the street that has these challenges, that has the society difficulties, that don't have the money that, you know, other people do have, is a consideration at all points.
Yeah. It's crazy because over the last number of years, I mentioned Jerry McGovern here. So this is the second time, a hat tip to Jerry McGovern. Jerry McGovern has a podcast on This Is HCD called Worldwide Waste. And he wrote a book about worldwide waste and on how data is and digital is destroying the planet and the contributing factors to the global warming. And we just released an episode the other day about the weight of data. And I'm really interested in the mindset that has been adopted in South Africa, as we just identified as culturally, that's more than what mindset that we would need to see happening in the Western world in terms of more consideration about how we design services to be more data sensitive, especially if we're trying to reduce our emissions or carbon emissions or reliance on data as being the contributing factor for data transfer in terms of knowledge transfer as well as just actual digital data. It's like these restrictions have created a new set of principles that I wish we could talk about a little bit more. In terms of the diverse kind of customer base that you have in South Africa, obviously, you know, many people will be aware of the cultural societal problems that have happened in South Africa over the last 50 to 100 years. How does this change how you approach design projects within your agency? How do you design for equity, like to make sure that we're not just targeting the rich? Because there's a huge gap, my understanding, in Johannesburg between the rich and the poor.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I think we have one of the largest gaps in the world between the average and the super rich. What we tend to do, and I'd say if I'm looking at the majority of our clients or projects, of course, sometimes we do projects specifically for high net worth individuals. Everybody does. And then they kind of have their own separate requirements, separate briefing, separate sort of understanding of that business challenge. Mm-hmm. But the majority of our projects are focused on the mass market, are focused on the everyday worker and the laborer and those that are at the lower end, because that's actually where, to me, the insights and the innovation and the thinking really lies. That's where all the growth opportunities exist, and also that's potentially for our clients where the majority of their sort of business impact is going to come from. The majority of our projects are for those individuals that are less well off.
Yeah. And you mean like for FMCG kind of clients?
More or less anything that we're not doing from an internal employee experience. Yes. So if we're doing, I'm just thinking of a retail client that I worked on recently. We looked at how we could improve one of their sort of financial functions with interactions on the cashiers. So we were actually doing a lot of research around the cashier interactions and understanding from the cashiers the kind of questions and the kind of customers that are coming through the door and the challenges that they have to then build a better experience for the employees on that interface to enable them to serve customers faster.
Interesting. And more effectively. So I think an awful lot of the time when we think about service design and we think about any of the interaction design projects that we might typically think of, am I right to say that there's more work to be done in the backstage of the services to ensure that that stuff can actually occur and the processes need to be refined to enable that, as opposed to just throwing technology at the problem?
Yeah, I mean, I think specifically, and I can only speak for our sort of South African market, we've got the technology, you know, is typically obviously needs overhauling and updating, but that's the same everywhere you go. I mean, obviously everything gets a bit older and then it needs to be replaced. What I think we can do more of is getting out and meeting the people that are actually at the, you know, at the front line or at the coalface of those experiences. So that whether that is a consultant in a call center, whether that is, you know, a bank branch teller, whether that's someone in a court, a mobile phone shop, we need to do more of that. So, and again, that we need to enable our employees in those organisations to be able to have the confidence to do it. Typically, there's always a reason why we never quite get to speak to the end user or never quite get to speak to the customer, because there's rules and there's processes or there's other work to be done that's more important or more a priority. So yes, I'd say business impact comes from systems design, process change, and typically looking at those kind of key moments that we can really have an impact on. And it's those small interactions, those small micro interactions that actually I feel is where the innovation actually lies. Difficult to find, difficult to get to, but when you get those, then we can make some real, effect some real change.
Yeah, absolutely. So where are the challenges then for the next, say, couple of years for you and the work that you're going to be doing in your studio? Like, where do you see it going?
You know, I think there's a thought that I had actually this morning when I was considering what we might be talking about, and I'm sort of really happy with the way where our conversation's gone. But I think specifically in the last few years, and we all understand all the challenges socially and financially as well, I think we've got to a point where we're really focusing on delivering work that works, which is great and useful. But what we've sort of lost focus on is the work as designers that is remembered. So what work are we doing that is memorable? So that kind of unexpected interactions, the unexpected experiences that we can actually give people that really makes their day. It's actually a conversation I was having with someone this morning. And I feel like we've lost that art of playfulness actually in the work that we do, and that to me is where we need to be aiming for. That should be our North Star in a way, which is yes, we can all deliver great work, yes, we can all deliver work that works and technology that puts it all together and deliver features and functions and, you know, a tick in the box, but where is the playfulness? Where is the stuff that's remembered, and how can design actually get back to that sort of lost art that I think, and I was also sort of reminiscing back when I was a student and I sort of devour those books that had those kind of visual puns and the unintended consequences and the great copywriting and all of that. I just feel like we've lost that direction, and that's what I'd like to see design doing next.
So are you referring to more of the employee experience or more of the end customer experience?
Both. I don't think you can have a great end customer experience without having a first starting with a great employee experience. So across the board.
Yeah. So in terms of the challenges for that, what do you feel is holding that back at the moment?
I think there's, if I had to say, I think austerity measures, and that's, you know, all the way down from the top, whether that's government or sort of I suppose, managing organizations or bodies where there's quite a lot of restrictions, quite a lot of regulation, obviously all for the right reasons. You know, if we look at compliance and ethics and, you know, all the good stuff that we do need to make sure that we're protecting our employees and customers with. But I think it's become so regimented that we are losing the creativity in those interactions, in those experiences, and in those services. And I think that it's something, if we go back to what Song is trying to do in terms of, you know, the blend of creativity through those services, from marketing, from advertising, all the way through to the build development and the data that's produced and how we use those insights. It's that playfulness that I think that we're losing. And that's what I'd like to see more of.
You'd like to see more of. That's probably one for another episode, but I'd love to invite you back to talk a little bit more around that when we've fleshed that conversation out a little bit more, because it's something that's close to my own heart. But Emma, look, we're coming towards the end of the time here with you. Like, if people want to reach out to Emma Carpenter, what's the best way to do it? Like, do you, I know you're on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I've been on it this morning, so I know you're there. But what are the social media channels are you on?
So actually, Jerry, I prefer LinkedIn. I'm one of those old school people that actually prefer to just manage one or two key things well than trying to be everywhere at once.
Fair enough. So I'll put a link to your LinkedIn on in the show notes here for people to reach out and get in touch, because I'm sure there's plenty more conversations we can have, because it was really interesting to get the perspective on what it was like designing within the African continent. So thanks so much for your time, Emma. Thanks so much for your openness as well and sharing all that information.
Thank you, Jerry.
And there you go, folks. I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you enjoyed it and want to listen to more, why not visit thisishcd.com, where you can learn more about what we're up to and also explore our course as well through there. Thanks again for listening.